You're listening to a podcast from 702.
With the latest postponement on schools reopening, I really can't help but be concerned. And many of us have questions about the 2021 academic year. Will it be more like what we saw in 2020? And what about the gaps in the curriculum from last year? And how will this knock on from one year to the next and the overall consequences on what our children are able to learn in school? And joining us now is Professor Michael Licordio. He is the head of Stellenbosch University's Department of Curriculum Studies. Just to give us a sense of what is likely to happen or the scenarios around these gaps in education and how we can hopefully plug them as much as we can as parents and as caregivers. Professor, good afternoon. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yes, good afternoon to you and your listeners, and thank you for having me on your show.
So when we design a curriculum, it is designed with an understanding of the number of weeks that children will be spending in the classroom, the number of hours they will have with their teachers. And COVID-19 has disrupted this quite substantially, and it's led to the stripping down of the curriculum. You know, it was mentioned last year, but I suspect we need to spend a lot more time to see exactly how deep the gaps or the stripping down, how deep this runs in terms of what our children can learn. In your assessment, how substantial is it?
To my knowledge, it was quite substantial. And one thing that people must realize is that we are dealing here with a pandemic, and until such time that South Africa will be engaging in an effective, you know, vaccine program, until such time, we will have to be very patient, and it will be a situation where the school and the academic year, they will be breaks, you know, and one will have to understand that, one will have to appreciate that, because as we speak, this morning we've learned that we have had 12,000 new infections yesterday, which is 30,000 more than the previous 2 days. So it is still going up and down, and it's still extremely high. You know, people need to realize that at the moment the rate of infections as we are speaking today is as high as it was at its peak last year, July and August. So it is not safe to send our children or our teachers to school at this point in time. The argument is made that, you know, it is safer at school than it is in the neighborhoods. That might be so, but it is still too risky. And I would want to plead with parents to understand this is a delay of about two and a half weeks to start the new year. Mm-hmm. And I think it is, you know, it is the right thing to do for now, just to get, you know, the numbers down. We can only go back to school when the infections, will decrease considerably. That's the one thing. Now, getting on to your question about the curriculum, we know people must also understand that a curriculum is a man-made construct. In other words, South Africa decides on its own curriculum. And because of that, we can also change that curriculum. And we've done that last year. We cannot foresee what's going to happen in 2021. But what we do know is that there will be interruptions. There is no doubt about that. Like I said, until such time that we have engaged in an effective vaccine program, and according to the government, we will only, you know, get to a herd immunity once 67% of the population have been vaccinated, and that process can take until the end of 2021. So unfortunately, 2021 is going to have a lot of challenges. And that is something that we need to be aware of, and that we need to teach our children. And I want to start there. As parents and as friends and as family, We need to educate our children that this is a pandemic, meaning many, many, many thousands, if not millions of people across the world are sick. And because of that, things are going to be different. But once we are all better, and once we have healed society, once we have healed the world, we will return back to normal, and then we can continue with our normal schooling. But in the meantime, we will have to make do with what we have. And that is that teachers will have to think new, to be innovative.
Yeah.
And given the fact that we will have 2 or 3 weeks before we will open up the 2021 school year, that to me gives time to teachers. It allows them to prepare well so that by the time learners do arrive at school, everything should be in place. And I'm talking about masks, I'm talking about sanitizers, I'm talking about deep cleaning the classrooms. I'm also talking about getting the books and all the notes and all and everything. We do have time now, you know, to set ourselves up so that once we kick off on 15th of February, we can kick start the year. But what I will hate is to see that we get back on the 15th of February and that we will only then begin to run around trying to get things in order. And I'm pleading now with schools and teachers, let us use this time effectively.
Yes, this 15. There will be 15 days before that.
Once we welcome the learners back, then we can at least offer them quality education.
So, Professor Lokodia, private schools, seem to have incorporated this blended learning quite successfully. You know, allowing children on the days that they can't be at school, and yes, affordability allows them to have other means of contact, of being in contact, being in a type of classroom with the use of technology. But we don't see the same sort of transformation happening in our public schools. How do parents in public schools, how should we navigate this to help our young learners ease into a different way of learning and the kind of support tools that can support this curriculum that is happening at a distance?
Yeah, let me first say that you know, talking about private schools, I think where schooling can go ahead in a safe environment, we must allow that schooling to take place. In this case, meaning that, you know, where online teaching can take place, that then parents and children must be allowed to do that. You know, we should not stop learners from learning. You know, you can tell a kid, listen, I'm not going to give you any classes today, but that kid will still go on his phone and he will navigate and you or she will read from that phone whatever they want to read. So we cannot stop, you know, children from learning. That's one thing. Coming back to you to the issue about state schools or public schools, we will have to rely heavily on the role that parents can play. And that, unfortunately, is not equal everywhere. Some parents can and some parents can't. And that is just the reality of the South African society. But where it is at all possible, I would advise parents that in this, the next 2 weeks or so, let us give our children enough opportunity to read as much as possible, one, about the pandemic, two, how to combat that, and three, how to follow, you know, how to maintain a safe and a healthy lifestyle. But this is a time for all of us to adapt, and it's a time for all of us, you know, to say to ourselves, you know, perhaps now is the opportune time for me to change and to change how I live, to change how I do certain things, and to look after our own health. And we need to educate our learners and our children about that. Let us do that. Let us give them enough material to read, because learners can never read enough. Expose them to stories if they are still very young. There's nothing wrong, you know, reading a story to a child of 5, 6 years old. We must continue to do that. and to do more, you know, those are at the high school level, like I said, let us expose them to as much reading material as possible.
Just so to keep the young minds just stimulated. In the long term, how do you think this is going to affect education? Are there going to be lasting consequences? It can be in the form of innovations or just changes to how we do things.
Yeah, it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to forecast the future. But given the fact that we are human, and given the fact that we are working here with young people and with learners, I am confident to say, you know, that our youngsters, they are very innovative, they are very creative, and sometimes we need to seek for solutions in conjunction with our children. Gone are the days where we as adults can say to children, listen, you sit there, this is what you must do for the next week or two. Rather say to them, listen, come, what do you think we can do for the next two weeks to make things, one, nice, and what do you think we should learn more about? Many cases, one might be pleasantly surprised with what young people will come up with. I think this is a time for innovation. I think this is a time for renewal. I also think that it's a time, you know, for having a sincere look at our curriculum. Because if we could chop and change our curriculum in 2020 that easy, then it tells something to us. And it tells us that there were things there that weren't really important. And perhaps we should think about that and think, what must we add to our curriculum and what can we take away? For instance, I am very much in favor of bringing more entrepreneurial skills into our schools, mm-hmm. so that our young ones, you know, can create jobs for themselves, rather than to teach them that you must go and look for a job one day. Rather than teach them, it's time for us to be innovative and to create jobs. Maybe that is where the future lies for all of us.
Yes, well, Professor, you know, that's a really powerful point you make there as we conclude, that it is an opportunity for us to definitely innovate, that if we could make those changes the way that we did, surely we can make the modifications we need to make our society more agile and responsive to the challenges of the moment in a similar fashion. Like, let us be responsive to this moment instead of just yearning or looking to uphold or have a return of what was once there. It's not going to be the same.